questions now with Dr. Greg Little. Now, you can restrict them or you can make them broader. It's your choice. We can talk about Atlantis. We can talk about the Hall of Records and some general Edgar Cayce questions that Greg might be able to answer for you. So all of that is next on Coast to Coast AM. Greg, any television shows on the horizon?
We have been asked to do several more, but we're finishing our own right now. And actually, those are, you can't control anything in those. They can make you look bad pretty easily.
Well, once you sign over your rights, that's it.
Yes, that's one of the problems we've seen. But
they try not to do it on purpose, but they just sometimes don't understand.
Well, we know what happened with the National Geographic when they actually told the people that made it to change it because they believed Thera was Atlantis, and they didn't want, in fact, they didn't use any of the footage that they
so
took.
They already had their own idea, and that's what they wanted.
They had, well, they have, that's their official position, that Thera was the source of Atlantis. Interestingly, at Bimini this time, we found two anchors on the Bimini Road, ancient stone anchors identical to ones that have been recovered off Thera.
You know, and it's possible it was all over the place, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's our idea, that it was everywhere. It was a maritime culture. They had to have ports everywhere, and Plato said they went in and out of the Mediterranean all the time. So it was everywhere.
And I still think that they probably had some extraterrestrial help.
Well, it's...
Edgar believed it.
I know. I cannot disagree. I don't know of any evidence other than that. I do know that there's some evidence regarding some ancient things that have turned up that do not appear to have come from the human mind at that time. So, yeah, it's very possible.
So will you give me your word if you do find the Hall of Records, you'll at least talk about it on Coast to Coast?
Absolutely. If you'll post all the tablets on your website.
I would post every tablet. Do you think we can decipher them?
Sure we can. Maybe we couldn't have before computers, but absolutely.
What language would they be in?
Well, Cayce talked about that. He said it's similar to Egyptian, but it's not really Egyptian. It would have to be like Proto or pre-Egyptian.
But they would have some kind of hieroglyphs on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're covered on all just like the cuneiform tablets that were all six sides of the tablet. These are thick stone tablets. And of course, it has edge sides, a top and a bottom edge side, and then the front and the back. And so there's six sides. All six sides are covered with writing.
I got to tell you, Greg, there is a tablet in Abydos, Egypt. And I got to tell you, when you look at this, you can see a submarine clearly.
Oh, yeah.
You can see a helicopter.
Yep.
And, I mean, something was going on.
Well, John Van Auken of the ARE has tied those in to Cayce, and he believes that those are extraterrestrial objects that you're looking at.
Very well could be. To the phones we go. We'll pick it up by going west of the Rockies. You're on the air with Dr. Greg Little on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Battleground, Washington.
Okay, go ahead.
My name's Mary. And I heard you, Gregory, you were describing how Edgar was, how he went into his trance.
Yes.
And how his consciousness left his body.
Right.
And how the teachers came through.
Right.
Well, back in 1980, I had a teacher just like that.
There are a lot of people have had that experience. That's absolutely true. I will say the difference between Cayce and others. Cayce, everything he said in those trances was written down. And that is the big difference between Cayce and other psychics. And Cayce is hard to throw in with everyone else. But trance channeling is somewhat similar, although Cayce didn't remember a single word that was said. It had to be read back to him. In fact, that's why he had people actually start writing it down, because he wanted to know word for word what he said.
This is correct. And the wife of the medium, she did write everything down until they were able to afford a recorder,
right,
to where they could record everything. I can't remember what else I was going to say.
Oh, no.
Like Doc, when he'd come back and I'd say, well, where were you? And he said, well, I was dancing on the moon.
I love it. I love it. Hey, thanks for the call. Cayce dies in 1947, Greg. But
45.
Do we have any audio of him or anything, films of him?
There are some films without sound of him. And there is audio. In fact, the ARE with members, they used to give away an audio tape of the only known recording of his voice during one of his readings. And it's absolutely fascinating.
Would you do something for me with ARE?
You want me to send you one?
Yes.
Absolutely.
With the permission to use some of Edgar Cayce on the show?
I will take care of that for you, George.
I mean, I think our Coast to Coast audience would love to hear that man's voice and whatever he was doing, his reading or whatever it might be. And I don't care how long it is.
Yeah, okay. And, okay, I will take care of that for you.
Okay, that is something. Some people want to know why Edgar Cayce wanted everyone to eat unsalted almonds.
Well, almonds, he believed in a couple of almonds a day, no more. But a couple a day, which assisted in reducing cancer, the probability of cancer, and also reduced circulation problems, and it was just very healthy. And of course, salt, they knew then, was not healthy. He knew that salt was basically not healthy, but that's the reason.
Okay, to the next.
Just for health, a couple a day.
Wild card line, you're on with Dr. Little. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Hi, Greg.
Hi.
My question is, could the stones been like a wave break?
Yes, that's exactly what they were. A breakwater, a wave break. Some people call it a jetty, okay. But that's precisely what it was.
And the gaps, would that have been so if a storm came up that the water would go through and not with all the force?
Right. That's how they built. They actually build some like that today, but yes, that's the best way to look at it. There's one other problem, though. We know in the 1930s, after a hurricane devastated a breakwater in Miami, a couple of barges came in from the U.S. and took out a whole bunch of stones from that area, took them to Miami, and rebuilt the breakwater with the stones from Bimini. So we don't really know what area that doesn't have stones in it were the ones that were removed. But we know that a couple of barge loads of stones were taken out. But it was a breakwater, absolutely.
Okay.
All right, appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
I'm still excited about being able to play a sound clip of Edgar Cayce on the show. This is great stuff.
You know, this time goes by so fast.
It does, Greg. I didn't even get
to talk about what we found, but somebody will ask.
Well, wait a minute. I'll ask. I was going to wait, but since you brought it up.
Well, we found Bill Donato. The reason we went is because Graham Hancock's wife took some pictures of stone circles at Bimini, and I'd never seen them, never heard of them. So we went. We started in 2004 trying to find them. We couldn't find them. And then I found out about another line of stones about 8/10 of a mile closer to shore called Proctor's Road. It's a mile long. And we did look at this first. It has 5 stone circles. And they're gigantic stones. And then there's a bunch of partial circles. And we found 8 ancient stone anchors associated with those stone circles. So that's the first thing that we looked at. That was the main reason. And then Bill Donato had found several mortised stones at the Bimini Road, which I had not seen. And he also found a large limestone wedge underneath a stone, though we didn't know precisely where it was. So that's why we went. And we never found the stone wedge. We did find a lot of the circles. We found all those anchors there. We found loads of mortised or cut stones, so they would basically clamp together. We found over a dozen double tiers of stones, and, of course, the skeptics say there's not one there. We found 2 triple tiers of stones, and a really impressive picture is on. If you go to the Cayce website, go to the link off of yours, and you click on the top article, which is the May 2005 Bimini expedition, you'll see a picture of a triple tier of stones on that page, and the top stone has a huge U, inverted U, cut all the way across the bottom, which is a flushing channel. We found that 3 anchors on the Bimini Road, including 2 that were identical to ancient Greek anchors. We found rectangular slabs under a lot of the blocks, including stacks of slabs under 2 of the stones, numerous prop stones under these, including cubic stones under them. Bill found a human artifact, some sort of a cut artifact, stone or pottery of some kind that's obviously quite old. We also found this big stone that has I can't even describe it. It's a U cut all the way through it, all the way about two-thirds of the way through the stone. I have no idea what it could have been used for. A U-shaped, a big U-shape cut all the way through it. I mean, it's got a big U opening in it. A large U-shape cut two-thirds of the way through it. And I have no idea what it is, but it's obviously been cut.
Probably a huge branding iron or something.
I don't know. We also found over a dozen stones accidentally under a large block, which we kind of excavated, removed these stones. They were black. They have been tested by two commercial U.S. geology labs and a professor from the University of Pennsylvania has rendered an opinion on them, too. They were obviously cut stones. They are a type of what the best name for them is fossilized limestone, but they're very similar to gray marble. There's no way the slabs could have gotten under the stones or this gray marble could have gotten under the stones by being dropped off a boat. These things were placed there.
Placed there on purpose.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's pretty much absolute proof. It's pretty definitive.
That's exciting. It really is. West of the Rockies, you're up with us. Hi there.
Hi. I was calling to ask about the something called the Emerald Tablet of Thoth. There's a theory that Thoth, he was in a someone from the Atlantis continent.
Oh, you were breaking up a little bit there. Did you understand him, Greg?
I heard him say Emerald Tablets. Did he say Toth, T-H-O-T-H? Is that who he's talking about? Toth is how you really say it.
Yes.
But I couldn't tell.
Yes, yes, that's what he means.
Okay, that there is the Chamber of Toth that's never been found in Egypt. There's one Egyptian papyrus that talks about a chamber that has records in it, and that's the only thing in Egyptian records that might refer to something like a hall of records. But I don't know much about the Emerald Tablets. That I really can't. I don't even want to speak about it.
Okay, thanks. Let's move next to our international line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you calling from?
This is Bill calling from Winnipeg, Canada.
Hi, Bill. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm in archaeology, and a new phenomenon for me in the last 10 years, but I was wondering whether you had any information on the high-speed phenomenon vehicles that were passing in and out of the water in north of San Juan, Puerto Rico, 68 through 1970. And they were at such these vehicles were so high speed. Obviously, their structure was compatible in molecularly to pass through water and air very, very swiftly.
Hmm. And how fast, Bill?
Well, it was probably Mach 2 or faster.
Underwater?
From air to water and water back to air. And there was almost no press on it at all. And I remember one session, I was there for 3 months on a study, and nothing was mentioned. And I was wondering, because Miami and the Bahamas are just 1,500 miles to the west of San Juan. Now, last year, we did another study east of, or I should say west of Caesarea in northern Israel, about 25 miles north of Alexandria, Egypt, which was, of course, the residence of Cleopatra, but it has sunk. But they found that some of these structures were of the same time frame.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we've got to go underwater to do all of that.
Well, Caesarea is one of the main harbors over there, and it's actually numerous levels. The Romans rebuilt it, but before that it had been built. Before that, the Phoenicians did, and somebody probably built it even before the Phoenicians. It's fascinating. I do want to talk about what you said about Puerto Rico. I spent about 6 months working for the Puerto Rican military, which is basically the National Guard, and they took me all over the island. And they told me stories almost identical to what you just said. And I had an interest in UFOs and so on at the time, and I was really interested in the underwater lights, the craft that had been seen moving in and out of water. And I know the Bahamas, particularly Andros, has had a lot of these reports. Interestingly, while we were in central Andros and we were filming interviews on the shoreline with this British crew, as they're filming us sitting there talking, a submarine popped up out of the water right offshore. We were all astonished just looking at it, and it sat there for a few moments. The guy turned the camera on it. There was not a single marking on it. It was black, and then it just went straight down. But that area, the people there talk about lights moving in and out of the water all the time. As to what it is, I don't know. I have a theory about plasmas and so on, but I wouldn't relate that theory to that particular area. But I don't really know that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they were, Bill?
Well, it's hard to tell because as research is so difficult there, because it is the deepest part of the Atlantic, about 43,000 feet.
Puerto Rican Trench.
Like the same as the Mariana Trench in the Pacific.
Yeah, it was Carolina Bay supposedly formed the Puerto Rican Trench.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe it was an early work of Bill Gates, perhaps. Who knows?
An ancient Bill Gates. Hey, thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. Next up, we'll go to our wild card line. You're on with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Galen, and I KFTE.
You're up there in Carmichael, California.
That's right.
Yeah.
When I was going to college in the 60s, I read The Travels of Gilgamesh. And at that time, he traveled to the west, I guess it was, to the east, I'm not sure, but he traveled through the gates, and I assume that was the end of the Mediterranean there. And then he traveled on and came to the land of the golden fruit. At that time, I believe the only place where you could find golden fruit was the orange in Florida. That's what I've led to believe. The orange was the golden fruit in Florida.
Hmm. Well, that, you know, the biggest problem with saying Atlantis existed anywhere in the Mediterranean or...
I didn't say anything about Atlantis.
Oh, I understand that. I'm going to...
He's Gilgamesh, talking about others. Yeah.
Yeah. Plato said that the island of Atlantis in 10,000 B.C. had several growing seasons, and he talked about tropical fruit. And in that era... it was too cold in the Mediterranean for any of that to occur. But the Epic of Gilgamesh does mention a lot of the same things and the golden fruit. You're correct. So go ahead.
Well, here's what happened to me is that a few years later, then Edgar Cayce came out with this thing. And then we found the road. And so that kind of been supporting everything that I conjured up in my little brain. And so I just thought I'd kind of pass that on. I appreciate you saying something about the golden fruit from Atlantis. I didn't know that.
Well, Plato spent a lot of time talking about the fruits and the various foods available on Atlantis, and it's just not Mediterranean. Gilgamesh did. It's an incredible story, and of course it involves flying craft too. But it's not supposedly dated that old.
Stay with us. We'll be back with Dr. Gregory Little and the rest of your phone calls right here. On Coast to Coast AM, I'm George Norrie. Well, we're going to monitor tomorrow to see if the House does indeed vote on the CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, which so many people are opposed to, and some people believe eventually it could lead to codex and would rid us of vitamins and supplements and things like that. You'd have to get it by prescription or in heavy pharmaceutical doses. So we'll monitor that situation for you. Our guest Wednesday will be Dr. Leonard Horowitz. We're going to be talking about his top picks among the most promising healthcare products for this year. So let's be part of that. Dr. Horowitz, always a fascinating guest on Coast to Coast. Thursday, first hour, I got him. Chekhov from Star Trek will be our guest, and he'll take phone calls as well. Walter Koenig, that'll be neat. How cool is that? Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM, but also don't forget the Possession, Perfect Possession, the free CD, Art Bell's interview with Father Malachi Martin. This is kind of a scary CD, by the way. So call 1-888-727-5505. You can also go online at coasttocoastam.com. And if you're trying to watch the Bimini video that Dr. Little gave us, and it may be a little slow to come up, that's because it's getting slammed right now. So you'll have the next day or two to get it. It will be there and posted for you so you can take a look at it. Fascinating video. It's what, 16 minutes long, Greg?
Yeah, 16 minutes. And I put it on there because almost nobody actually gets to see what is there underwater. Even on documentaries, they only show a few seconds of it or maybe a minute, and you just can't see what's there.
All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll pick it up by going east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
George.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to let you know, man, I've been a big fan of your show. I picked it up about a month or two ago, and I haven't been able to quit listening ever since.
Well, thanks. How did you find us the first time?
I was just flipping through AM radio, and I heard something interesting, and just kind of just fell in.
Well, I'm glad you're part of the family. Go ahead.
I've been spreading the word, too. I've been trying to get you some more listeners.
Ah, my ambassador. I love it.
Well, I was wanting to ask Greg about, you know, how he really sees, like, the reincarnation and all that, how he sees it fitting in with the Bible, I mean, you know, in general. And I'll take my answer off there.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about reincarnation, Greg,
well,
and how it ties into that.
I've read Ian Stevenson's work and some others. I don't know if it exists or not. I was born and raised a fundamentalist Christian, but my basic belief is that I believe in God, and if God wants somebody to live more than one life, they certainly will. It's pretty clear to me. As far as what Casey said, a lot of his evidence about the past came out of these, and to me, it's not relevant whether that's true or not. I'm more interested in the information. I'm not particularly frightened by it as a fundamentalist. On the other hand, I don't embrace it either. I really don't know. Most of the people that I interact with believe in it, and they don't understand why I don't, but I just don't know that the evidence is there. And I got to stick with something Casey said. Casey had a dream where he was born in Nebraska in about the year 2200, and then he had a reading to try and explain the dream, if it was true or not. And the reading basically verified that it was true, but it said, look, focus on this life right now. That's all there is for you right now, and that's the important thing. And I kind of live by that.
Tell me about what he said about the land changes of this country.
Nebraska would be a safe area. He said that California, where you are, is particularly Southern California, would sink into the ocean or be fractured off. He also said that the southern part of the Carolinas will have problems being inundated with water. An interesting reading said that a portion, and I read this earlier today, and I've never read that specific reading, it said a portion of New York City will disappear in a twinkling of an eye, which I found really interesting. He talked about Northern Europe having major changes in a twinkling of an eye through fire. That sounds like nuclear to me.
Mm-hmm.
He said to watch the Gulf of Persian Gulf. He said watch that would be a major problem area. And he said that the Great Lakes are going to empty into the Gulf of Mexico, and that there would be a very wide area of water cut through the middle of the U.S., which would basically be around the Mississippi River. I live close to the Mississippi River.
Did he talk in specific times?
He said a lot of people throw around that he said it was going to happen in 1998, and that's not true. He said that the beginnings of a very gradual shift toward this would occur in 1990, start in 1998. And then he said somebody asked him about the year 2000 and 2001, would something happen? And he said it would start with the shifting of the pole. And he said
and they are shifting.
Well, he said the first sign of the shifting of the pole would be in the South Pacific. And it would have to do with water and sinking lands. And, of course, we had the Sumatra earthquake.
Sure.
Which is in the South Pacific.
Yep. And a major structure change.
And the other thing that did occur, the Earth's pull literally did shift enough that it is slightly different. It's a measurable shift. If you go on to It's actually the U.S. Naval Observatory website. They have information about the shift of the Earth's pull with that earthquake.
Yeah, which is, it was.
Yeah, which
huge.
Is very interesting. And, of course, the South Pacific, and he said the next the key for California, he said that 3 months after Vesuvius and Mount Pele erupt, that's when California would go. So there you've got a signpost.
Let's hope that's hundreds of years away.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, he didn't give a date. He said it would be gradual, though.
By the way, this crystal ball communications that the Atlanteans had, we need to get that up to the SETI folks when they're trying to communicate and with radio transmissions.
Yeah.
Next up, first-time caller line. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling. My battery just went dead.
Oh, no. We still got you for a little bit. Are you there?
No.
She hung up.
Yeah.
Poor girl. She's been waiting for hours.
Well, actually, it wasn't a crystal ball, George. The initial one was called the Tui Stone, and it was cut into a huge six-sided crystal. Which they then placed into a holding device, and that is what was used then to collect the rays of the sun and focus them.
Next up, Wild Card Line, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Andrew from Denver.
Hi, Andrew.
Hey, I just got a question for your guest. To when he finds the Hall of Records,
okay,
or the Archives of Records from Atlantis or whatever, I just want to say be careful, you know, because most, like, ancient traps and all that, got, like, ancient things like that.
Good point.
Got traps, you know, and if it's worth, you
Raiders of the Lost Ark, those kind of things.
Yeah, you know, if it's as important as, you know, everybody believes it is, you know, it's probably going to be worth protecting, and somebody probably did.
Oh, well, I want to say something. And all the people I've talked to and all the shows I've been on, I mean, we've talked also to literally thousands of people. You are the first person to bring that up. And the moment you said it, what came to mind was something we found at Piedras Negras, which the local guys there led us to.
What was that?
There is a pyramid there that they know has a tunnel system under it. And several years ago, Brigham Young University tried to tunnel into it, and it kept collapsing on them. And they finally gave up. But if you stand there and hold your hand down, and it's two sides of a stairway where this collapsed tunnel is, there's cool air that just rushes out. In fact, you can almost cool off like an air conditioner there, and it means the tunnel system is really long. But they had real problems, and they were actually scared because it collapsed on them several times. So he's got a good point there. I hadn't thought of it.
Only a penitent man shall pass.
Ah, yeah.
Remember that? One of my favorite lines.
That is a great line. In case he said something similar, you had to be of the right mind to be able to get in.
Next up, we'll go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello. There's a lot of evidence that Jesus traveled to India when he was between the ages of 13 and 30. In fact, the Bible says absolutely nothing about Jesus between the ages of 13 and 30, except a brief reference at the end of the second chapter of Luke. And I've heard that Edgar Cayce confirmed that Jesus, in fact, did travel to India. Could you comment on this?
Yes, he did say that.
Yeah.
That's the answer. He did say that.
Thank you. That's
okay.
All I wanted to know.
Very good. And Edgar talked on just about every subject, didn't he?
You know, yeah, but if with 14,000 readings, I mean, that's over 50,000 pages. It's an incredible amount of material.
That is. Now, the CD, the tape, whatever you're going to get me, what might it be?
The tape will be of Edgar's voice during a reading.
How
that
long,
is the tape.
How long will it run? Do you know, Greg?
The one that I have, I actually have one, but I don't have the full reading on it. And they may, it's actually an old wire recording.
Get me one with the full reading if you can.
I will try to. They have only one in existence, and I don't know that it is a full reading. What I have, they have a portion of it that they put out many, many years ago, and it lasts around 20 seconds. One that I have. Now, they may have.
I want one that's longer than that.
Okay. I'll see if they have
a couple minutes at least, maybe even
longer. It's the only
longer.
Wire record. It's the only recording of his voice ever made, and it was made with the old wire recording system.
Oh, that's incredible. I've got to play that.
Oh, it's really interesting.
That would be the highlight of my career here.
Just keep in mind, he was a Kentucky boy, so his voice in the 1800s, his voice is a Kentucky
we
boy.
We got a lot of listeners in Kentucky.
Yeah.
East Time, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Where are you calling from?
Bayonne, New Jersey.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to speak about the piers and why there's spaces between them in the water.
Yes.
because they were, there was wooden planking on top of them, and they needed the spaces. So, like the other caller was saying, for the tides to go through them.
I'd never thought of that either. That's a great idea. You know, they've never found that in the Mediterranean, but these things are 6,000-7,000 years old in the Mediterranean. Of course, none of the wood would remain.
The wood, none. None of the wood. The wood's
that's
gone.
Darn good idea. In fact, we'll probably add that to our articles. That's great. You need to be an archaeologist.
Thank you, Greg. And yeah, the other thing, when you saw the submarine come up around Cuba.
It was actually at Andros. There's a U.S. And British. There's actually seven bases on Andros run by the U.S. and the British.
Well, yes, sir. And you were speaking about the side scan finding the.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
With the gallons, with the gold. Well, wouldn't our military be scanning for these gallons as well? And maybe there's, with the submarines, I'm sure they know where these gallons are with all the gold. So there might be some other angle about that.
Maybe. It's more likely they're spying on the Cubans, that they've got some something they're doing there, but they got out of there quickly.
Well, I don't know. Could be.
I mean, it may be. You may be right.
Could be, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Appreciate you being on the program. And maybe they were, I don't know, taking information about what the Soviets may have dumped there.
You know, I've thought that the whole time. I just, you know, all we know is what I've said. And it's just speculation, but there's a reason why they were there, and they were actually laying on the bottom, and I'm sure they got surprised when this sonar hit them.
Wildcard Line, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Well, I have a quick question for you and a couple questions for your guests.
Okay.
Quick question for you. Did you sanctify your mirrors, young man?
I have not.
You have not?
I have not.
Oh, not heeding Evelyn's advice. Bad idea, George. But I have to let you know I'm spreading the gospel according to George all across Wisconsin. So
excellent.
No,
all right.
My question for your guest, I was wondering if he'd ever heard of anything called the Ora Linde alphabet.
Is that the one, the Native American one?
No, it's an alphabet that it's allegedly only used by Atlanteans. I had just read about it. I'm a little fledgling occultist, and my specialty is alphabets. I came across the Ora Linde, and I wanted to know if this was maybe something made up or possibly channeled by the author. He alleges that it is an alphabet, that it was used, but I've looked some of the scripts that have actually been found by places, you know, that...
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. One thing I will say is that everything starts by being made up, including alphabets.
Yeah.
So who knows who made it up, but it had to start that way. But I don't know anything about it.
Okay, that's honest
and
fair.
Yet another question, right?
Wildcard Line, you're on Coast to Coast.
Hello, George.
Yes.
This is Jim from Boca Raton.
Hi, Jim.
I just wanted to let you know that I've been trying to get through since December.
Well, you finally made it. It took you a few months, but here you are.
Right. I just wanted to relate a story to you. In 1966, I started my career as a band director in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And two of my students invited me over to dinner. I was single at the time, and their mom thought it would be nice for me to come over and have dinner with them. So after dinner, the mother of my band students said, "Have you ever heard of Edgar Cayce?" And I said, "No, who's he?" And she said, "Well, he's the sleeping prophet." And I said, "Well, I've never heard of him. You know, I'm just 21 years old, you know?"
Yeah, I'm just a kid.
And so she said, "Well, let me tell you a little bit about my history." She said that when she was young, you know, like 5 or 6 years old, she had stomach problems, and none of the doctors that her parents took her to could cure her or solve her problem.
Right.
So as a last resort, they took her to Virginia Beach.
Oh my!
Where Edgar Cayce was, and so they had him do his thing, and he said that she should go to New York City. There's a new doctor that's going to be there, and that he will be able to cure her. Well, they went to New York City. They looked up the doctor's name.
And sure enough, there was the doctor.
There was no doctor's name by that name in the phone book. So they started walking around New York City. They, you know, thought it was a great town, you know. So they just happened to look up, and there the doctor's shingle was being attached.
Brand new doctor.
Above the door. So they went in, and the doctor was able to cure.
This is amazing.
Yes.
Greg, this is one heck of a story.
Yeah, there are several stories like that that are totally documented, and they're incredible. They're just incredible. It's a great story, but it's not a story. It's the truth.
I hope to God, when we talk about his accuracy, which is pretty darn high, that some of these earth changes he's inaccurate with.
Well, he said they were gradual.
It's kind of scary. Eventually, it could happen.
Yes. Well, you know that anyway. Eventually, there will be a major earthquake in California. Whether or not it'll sink into the sea is another story.
Absolutely. Greg, we're out of time. Your website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. What's on the horizon very quickly?
More trips. We're still writing all this up. Finish this documentary, write it up, get it in some real archaeology journals, and then move on. I still want to go back to Piedras Negras. I hope to do that next year. We have a little more to do at Bimini and another space in Andros we want to really look at.
All right, you keep in touch, and by all means, get me the audio of Edgar Cayce.
During a break, I made a very large note, and I will take care of that.
Excellent. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, George.
All right, my friend.
You're great listeners.
Good to have you with us. I'm going to be able to play some audio of Edgar Cayce giving a reading. That is historical. You'll hear it on Coast to Coast AM. When we come back tomorrow, it's Dr. Leonard Horowitz. And then we've got a great program for you for the rest of the week as well. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM for Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.